Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to The Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Once again, we are going to be exploring through the treacherous and downright strange deep woods with everyone here in the swamp. If you have a story that you would like to share, whether it's from the woods or somewhere else in the great outdoors, I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Send it on in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further ado, be sure to elbow that like button in its face so it really feels it and knows you mean business. Subscribe if you're new, turn on notifications as I upload multiple videos a week, and get ready for these creepy and downright strange deep woods horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. The Feeling of Being Watched by Ramses. A dilapidated house stood in the heart of a dense forest, unsettling to everyone passing by. I lived there as a child, but the mysterious aura of the forest kept me at bay, and I never really dared to venture into its depths. One night, as I lay in bed, a chilling sensation crept over me. A feeling of being watched consumed me through the darkness, even though I could see nothing. It felt like something was staring right out my window. I covered my window with a pinned-up blanket, seeking refuge from the unseen gaze. But the eerie feeling persisted, as if the darkness itself was alive and watching. We had gotten a cat that we had to get rid of. As in the day, it was the sweetest thing on earth. But at night, it would turn into a little devil and attack you and just yowl all night. But the eerie occurrences persisted. Shadowy figures loomed in the hallway, their presence felt but never seen by anyone but me. They trailed me whenever I went, a silent procession of the unknown. I would run to my mom and stepdad's room and beg to sleep there as the shadows never entered their bedroom for some reason. The energy in that home was always off at night, but during the day, it would be kind of normal. But it would bother me, because everything except for the forest seemed to be touched by the sun. The forest was extra dark, which I dared not enter as I always felt I was being watched from just beyond the tree line. When my family moved away, my uncle, drawn by the same inexplicable force, moved into an abandoned house deep into the forest. Now, while hunting in that same exact forest, he stumbled upon a startling discovery. A human skeleton. Its bones bleached by time, concealed by a lot of undergrowth. The sight was chilling, a stark reminder of the darkness within the forest. He captured the moment on his old flip phone, immortalizing the dark secret hidden behind the forest depths. Years have passed, but the memory of the haunted house and the haunted forest lingers. The forest keeps its secrets close, revealing them only to those brave or unfortunate enough to stumble upon them. As I gaze upon the old photograph, I can't shake the feeling that the forest still whispers secrets waiting to be uncovered. Now that land is overgrown and abandoned, who knows what roams it? The Awful Smell by Shy84. I'm currently in northern Quebec for a cousin's reunion. We are Native American. My father is remodeling a trailer on some land pretty far back into the woods. And since I live 3 hours away, we decided to stay the night there. It was my father, myself, and my daughter. My dogs and husband are at home for work. My daughter is having a hard time sleeping currently due to having a stuffy and runny nose, which also, unfortunately, keeps me up as well. So roughly about a half an hour ago, I went outside to have a smoke. I know I should quit, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm sitting on the step at the door, and I hear kittens crying. It sounded like a real kitten. There was nothing strange about it at first. But instinctively, I told it, "No, you can't come here. Go find your mom." Not even a minute later, I heard some strange and unnatural catcalls. They sounded like they were very wrong, if you know what I mean. Almost like something was trying to imitate it. And it also tried to sound threatening. I take my time to finish my cigarettes to show whatever or whoever is out there that I'm not scared. But in reality, I'm pretty scared inside, especially since my 12-year-old kid is here sleeping. I make sure to tell it again to leave and that it can't follow me inside. I'm laying down with the window on top of the house opened to let the breeze in. All of a sudden, this awful stink rushes in my nose. Now I know what you're thinking. This isn't some normal smell like a dead animal or some sort of skunk. This was something unnatural, like opening a week-old garbage bag that had been left rotting in the hot sun or something. There are no weird sounds, just the smell. It's absolutely silent. I've been smelling it for a good 20-25 minutes before something else happened. I want to add that we are not on native land, as far as I know. We are kind of deep into the woods, but certainly the town was only a couple of miles away. We were surrounded by trees and freshwater lakes, and I assumed that maybe it could be some sort of animal. I've smelled a bear, I've seen bears, my dad is a hunter, he's killed bears, but I never remember them smelling like this. So, when I talked about it with my father, he suggested that it was more than likely a Sasquatch of some sort. But I don't know much about Sasquatch in this area. We're 5 days into this little trip now, and I've not smelled anything remotely close to that. I did go look for some feet prints. Not sure if I noticed anything, but I thought I might have saw some toe marks. But I'm not 100% sure. If anybody in the British Columbia area, especially northern Quebec, have ever experienced anything like this, I would love to know in the comments. Monument Valley Horror by Slaint S. My boyfriend and I were staying at a solar-powered tiny home on the Navajo Nation across from Monument Valley in 2019. It was one of the last stops on a road trip through Colorado and Utah. There was only a shared outhouse for a bathroom you could access outside. The vast and beautiful area feels somewhat desolate because of the lack of fertile earth. To set the scene, the tiny home is on a cliffside with a spreading view of Monument Valley. Behind it are sizable red rock formations with hiking trails. There are a few homes around, but they are very spread apart. The area has very, very interesting energy, and that's the best way I could put it. There are petroglyphs and some sort of other rock formations around the tiny house. I don't know how old they are or much about them if I'm honest, but they gave off energy and you could feel it. We arrived in the early afternoon and settled in. As night fell, my boyfriend called his dad to let him know we had arrived safely and where we were. His dad has had some experience in the Navajo Nation himself, as he has been to the area before to participate in a sweat tent ceremony. He told us that he always feels uneasy there. He warned us to watch out for skinwalkers. We had never even heard that term before, so we kind of chuckled to ourselves about him being superstitious and afraid of something that probably wasn't even real, you know? When we got off the phone, my boyfriend started Googling. After a couple of minutes, he looked over at me and said, "Well, The worst thing that happens is we die. At that moment, all the power in the cabin went out completely. Now, as cliche as this sounds, it was totally dark, and this tiny home had a huge glass window bordering the whole interior. We were scared to death, and of course, the only way to use the restroom was to go outside. We both slept incredibly poorly that night. Thankfully, nothing really happened from there. No crazy experiences. However, the next morning, when I woke up, I found a pack of feral horses standing right outside my window, staring into my soul. When I went outside to take some photos, this is where the story actually gets creepy. I noticed a bunch of massive footprints all around our home. And when I say massive, I mean, not even Shaquille O'Neal would compare to these footprints. They looked human, very much so. But they were massive, like size 32 if I had to guess. I could be exaggerating, but these things were at least twice the size of my boyfriend, and he wears a size 12. It truly felt like the energy around this area was reminding us that there is something more than meets the eye. And whatever that feeling that we felt that night before, definitely had to be our instincts telling us something was just beyond the light, and it was watching us the whole night.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
A Sense of Dread by Atlas Ram. This happened a couple of months ago, somewhere around the 5th of November. I live in northern Italy, so please excuse my language. It might not be the best English. So, that evening, in which the red aurora borealis appeared, it was visible to us very well. I was chilling at home after a long day when one of my friends called me and asked me if I wanted to try to go see the aurora with him. I said sure, because I'm always up for an adventure. And from where I live, the top of the mountain is about an hour drive in the car. Somewhere around that evening, he comes to get me and we go up. We even see a couple of cute chunky foxes while we're ascending. We arrive to the top of the mountain, there's a big parking lot there, and we get out of the car. It's pretty cold and the wind is howling. And luckily, we do have some trees covering the other side of the lot, so we're not getting the full brunt of the wind, but it's still really cold. We encountered only one other car on the road the whole time up there, and there was only one other car parked quite a little bit away from us. Everything was apparently empty, or maybe it was just too dark to see. We take some pictures. We can't really see the aurora that well, but we did get a pretty good vantage point of it. Just some reddish specks of light here and there, but it was still absolutely magical. We can, however, see a beautiful Milky Way, so despite the cold, we just stand there in admiration of the universe above us, chatting lightly. After about 45 minutes to an hour, I start to begin to feel uneasy, and not really with a reason. Then, my friend goes to use the bathroom, which is short distance away from me. They remain in sight and all that. I'm concentrating on the surroundings, as I'm used to giving credit to my internal voice. So, I suddenly start picking up on something. I'm hearing footsteps coming from the distance, and they're not just any normal footsteps, they sound incredibly heavy. Every time the wind goes down, they go silent, but a bit delayed. I can clearly distinguish them as the snow and ice crunches under the weight, and every time the wind picks up, it'll move. I tell my friend when he comes back and we listen, and he confirms it as they're getting progressively closer. We made eye contact, decided we have seen enough stars for a lifetime, and didn't want to stay around to find out whatever the heck was lurking out there. We calmly walked to the car, unlocked the doors, got in, locked them again, and booked it out of there swiftly. The next day we talked about it, and honestly, we looked all over the news, and we didn't see anything about robberies or anything in that area. When we drove by them, we didn't see anything either. You know, no silhouette, nothing, you know, ended up showing up in our high beams or anything like that. That doesn't mean they just weren't out of range. We could have just passed them without knowing. But this story just freaks me out. There's just something about a bipedal person, creature, or thing trying to sneak up on you that just doesn't seem friendly, you know? I'm just amazed at how spooked I felt in that moment. Camp Hag by Redneck Moss. In the summer of 2018, my church youth went to a camp called Camp Dakota. It was an activity camp, so they had archery, tomahawks, and other things. One of their activities was also paintball, but the arena looked like a hellhole from the outside. There was a chain link fence, a rope fence, a super thick ivy growing on the outside and on the inside. It gave everybody creepy vibes. Later that night, at maybe around 11 p.m., we all got in bed in these canvas tents that are provided by the park with bunk beds and all that fun stuff. Before we decided to try to sleep, someone finally said, "Hopefully no creatures come out of that hell spot." That's a thought I wish had never been brought up, though. It seemed as though everyone fell asleep pretty much immediately except for myself. After 10 minutes of trying to fall asleep and my mind racing about 100 different topics, I heard something rustle outside the tent door. The zipper was unzipped, and I could listen to the sound of the zipper pulling around. I figured someone was just trying to leave our tent to go to the bathroom or something along those lines. Why would I think any different? We were sleeping on bunk beds and I was on the top, so there was no way I could see someone of regular height standing on the ground. But I noticed something. It had the shape of a person. Super tall. Darker than dark. This thing was almost like it was emitting black. There's no good way to describe it. We had a lamp hanging up. It was on the dimmed setting, so it wasn't too bright. And I couldn't see much detail on the figure. It soaked up all the light emitted from the lamp. It looked much like the picture in the video that was described precisely as it looked. As the figure stepped in front of the lamp, I could tell it was turning by how the shoulders were moving. I couldn't figure out which way it was turning, but as soon as it stopped, I had the overwhelming feeling like I was being watched. It sent chills down my spine. The figure had no facial features. It was just a big, tall, skilly, slinky-looking shadow. So, there was no way to know if it was actually looking toward me, but I had the feeling that it was. I tried my hardest not to move a single muscle. This thing might just go away and leave me alone. At some point, I think I must have fell asleep, because all I remember next is waking up the following day and trying to forget about that creepy, weird thing that I saw. I did end up asking some of my friends if they had seen or heard anything weird as well, and none of the leaders seemingly saw or heard anything, but I did hear that there was some screaming from the second night we were there. None of the guys seemingly knew where it was coming from. They just knew that it was echoing from deep within the woods that surrounded the camp that we were in. On the last night, all the young men were packing up some things we didn't need that night, so we could just get up, do a little bit of packing, and get out of there. We were all doing that, and two black cats popped into our tent. I love black cats, but these cats just gave people an uneasy feeling, and they came out of nowhere. We didn't see them anywhere, and there are no pets at this place. We all had the opportunity to finally get out of there and go home, and I did hear from some of my friends that they had continuous nightmares after this, and those black cats, apparently, they always made an appearance.
I'm going to share my experiences as a 28-year-old male on a safari I was on last year. I've always been told that safaris are an amazing experience, and after my trip, I agree, but not in the way I'm sure others intended it would be when they told me this. Hopefully, what happened to me will never happen to you, but there are risks no matter where you decide to travel in the world, and this is just how things happened for me. I went on a solo safari. Basically, that means you have a guide and yourself. There aren't large groups of other people who we'd be spending our nights camping out under the stars with. It was about the third night when I woke up because I needed to go to the bathroom. I was doing my business and looking out into the distance while listening to the sounds of nature, when I saw something in the distance. It was an emaciated man with no eyes and flies crawling from his skin. I quickly finished doing my business and asked my guide if he saw this man in the distance. He shook his head and said I'm probably only half awake and should get more sleep. I did as the man said, and tried to get some more rest. The next morning, I woke up to see my guide slumped over on a log. Next to him was the emaciated figure from the night before. In broad daylight, I could see him more clearly. I wanted to vomit at the smell he gave off, and I felt sick at the sight of his emaciated figure. That said, I also felt fear. The man had no eyes. He simply looked at me without saying a word, and I could feel the need to leave. I backed off, and soon after I watched something leave my guide's body before the emaciated figure vanished. I felt fear and sickness as I checked my guide and realized he was dead. I was now stuck with no guide, and no idea how to get back to where the nearest town may even be. Searching my former guide, I found the keys to the jeep. I didn't feel comfortable leaving him out in the middle of nowhere, so I loaded him into the back of the jeep and proceeded in what I believed to be the direction we previously came from. The day was long, and as I continued to drive, I quickly realized my fuel was beginning to fade. Surely I had enough to get back, right? Was I even going the proper way? My mind began to flood with panic as I started to doubt myself and became a bit delirious from my long drive. I drove into the night under the prayer that I'd be lucky enough to get back to where I came from. Sadly, as the fuel ran out, I had no clue how far I was from civilization, and all I had left was a tent for camping and my own 2 feet. The man I was on the safari with carried no radio, and the jeep didn't seem equipped with anything other than a flare gun and some water. I grabbed the flare gun and set up my tent for the night. I soon went inside. I fell asleep, scared out of my mind with worry. It wasn't easy as the fear kept me awake at every sound, but eventually, I crashed from exhaustion. I awoke the next morning to the last thing I ever wanted to see. A lion now stood on the back of the jeep, dragging my guide's body by the leg out of the back. I wasn't sure if I should try to stop this. On the one hand, it seemed extremely disrespectful to not try to preserve this guy's body in case I should ever find a town. On the other hand, that's a lion and it likely would tear me apart. I mean, all I had was a flare gun. I wanted to help this guy, but he was already dead. I had to think about my own survival, and so with great sadness, I watched as the lion dragged the man's body off. I sat at a loss as to what to do now, but the first thing I did before actually doing anything else was wait for the lion to disappear completely. After I was positive the lion was gone, I got out of the area and continued walking. I felt if I stayed, I'd likely be dead. That said, as I walked, I also felt I'm going to die. It was so hot outside, and outside of that, there were predators everywhere. I was practically a walking buffet, waiting for something to come along and take me. At least that's how I felt as I continued my trek. Every time I made it to the horizon and crested a hill, I felt I'd finally find civilization. Sadly, it just wasn't happening. Eventually, I reached a point where the hills were no more, and the expanse of the horizon seemed to stretch out on infinitely. Night fell, and I was growing hungrier by the minute. I had some small things like jerky to eat, but I was on my last stick and basically had to ration what little I had with the bottle of water that I had left on me as well. I eventually found a tree and some bushes and tried to hide out there, collapsing quickly from exhaustion. I had a dream, or perhaps it was a hallucination at this point, where I saw the emaciated man standing on the edge of the horizon. It was as though he was following me. I remember trying to run, but no matter the direction I turned, he was there. If I looked behind me, he watched me like a specter waiting for my demise. If I looked ahead, it was as though he were there waiting for me to come to him, to accept this was my end. But was it my end? I thought to myself. This question did not come with quick answers. I spent the next day eating what little I had left through the day, and eventually drinking what was left in my water bottle. It was sickeningly hot, but I had to drink something. When night came, I fell next to a lone tree. I stared in the distance, my vision half blurry from feeling delirious. And that's when I saw him again. The emaciated man. He just stared, carrying a long stick. I rubbed my eyes, my head pounding from a headache as I did. Was this real? I finished rubbing my eyes, and that's when I saw the man begin walking toward me, slowly. There was a darkness about this figure. I felt more terror begin to grip me as the man got closer. That's when I raised my flare gun, and he stopped. He had no emotion on his face. He simply watched me. Terrified and emotional, I fired a flare toward the sky, hoping this guy didn't continue forward. Didn't know what else to do. I figured if someone was nearby, perhaps I had a chance. If not, I wouldn't have to worry about it much longer anyway. I don't know who I should thank, whether it be God or sheer chance, but at that moment the man turned and walked the other way, disappearing into the horizon. A few minutes after this, I saw several trucks headed my way. I couldn't keep conscious after that and crashed. I was brought to a hospital where I explained my situation, and when I was better, I was released. I was told it was just a bad luck that my guy likely had a heart attack or a stroke in the middle of the night. They never recovered his body. I eventually headed back to the States and told myself that I wasn't going to do a safari again. My friends were right. It wasn't indeed an experience. That said, it was one that I wanted to never experience again. To this day, I'm not sure who or what that emaciated man was. I'm just grateful that I was able to leave Africa with my life. If you ever choose to go on a safari, definitely do not go alone. In fact, I'd recommend going with a group or at the very least preparing for your trip properly so you hopefully don't wind up in a situation like I did. That means packing more food and water than you'll feel you'll need, and doing things like paying attention to where you are headed so you aren't lost if something happens. I've been through a lot on my trip. I'd like to think my experiences changed me for the better and made me appreciate this precious thing we call life that much more. I still have nightmares about being stranded out there and even about the emaciated man. I go to counseling for these things and I've been diagnosed with PTSD. The therapy helps, but the experience is not something that will ever go away. I will always remember it, and it will always be with me. Thank you, Swamp Dweller, for sharing my story on your show.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Well, Swamp Folk, that's another episode down here in the swamp. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to slap up that like button so it knows you mean business. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new episode, as I upload them multiple times a week in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a scary story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. You can also submit them on Reddit via r/thedarkswamp. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that keep this show going on a daily basis. I couldn't do this without you guys, and I really appreciate all the support you give us. If you could, be sure to comment down below as it helps the video reach more people. I would love to see what story you enjoyed the most. If you did make it this far, be sure to comment the code word thundering sound, just to confuse anybody who didn't make it to the end. Funniest comment will get pinned as always. If you're outside of YouTube and still want to hang out with me and talk with me and keep up with everything the Swamp Dweller's doing, you can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much everywhere. I'm there somewhere. Just search my name and I'm sure I'll pop right up. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, absolutely free, you can download them from Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.